We are in Romans chapter 2, verse 17. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17, he starts out and he says this. You are Jews. Now, remember last week I said, let's look at it and say that we are Christians, right? And we just replaced it because truly it's interchangeable. And so here he says, listen, indeed, you are called a Jew. Now, what we're talking about today, remember last week I said we're starting a new mini-series inside of a series, and we're going to call it False Securities. And this false security here is their heritage. The false security here is their heritage. You are called a Jew. And because they were called a Jew, they thought they were special. Now, they are special because they're God's chosen people, but are they really that special? And a lot of questions that come up and say, well, don't Jews automatically get to go to heaven, right? Isn't that a real good question? Somebody say amen. Okay, just make sure you're with me. Make sure it works. Okay, so here Paul says, listen, indeed, you are a Jew. And then he starts unfolding it because they are completely dependent upon being a Jew. Now, the Jew, I just kind of want to give you an idea of where it came from. In centuries past, they had been referred to as Hebrews, so-called because of the language they spoke. They also had long been called Israelites after the land God had promised and given to them according to his covenant with Abraham. But by the time of Christ, the most common name they had was that of a Jew, and the term was derived from Judah, which is the name of one of the 12 tribes in the southern kingdom, but during and after the Babylonian captivity had come, they were referred to the whole race that descended from Abraham and Isaac as Jewish or the Jew, and so that's kind of how they got their heritage. But the problem is that they held on to Abraham. And that became a huge issue. I want you to turn your Bible, if you will. Well, actually, yeah, turn to John chapter 8. I want you to turn to John chapter 8, but I want you to see here in Micah 3, 11 through 12. In Micah 3, 11 through 12, it says this. And the reason I want you to see this is because the minor prophets were already telling them, listen, you know what? Because you are God's chosen people, you have a problem. You are arrogant. You're very prideful. And you're holding on to a heritage, and that heritage is going to kill you. And so Micah comes in. He's a prophet, and he says, her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Now it goes on. It says, therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Let's just stop for a minute. They said, we're Jews, and because we're Jewish, God's with us. And because God's with us, we can do whatever we want. Go back to 11, if you will, 3:11. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. What do you see going on here? It's called extortion. And they're taking advantage of the Jews. The leaders, the Jewish leaders are taking advantage of the people. He says, listen, I want you to understand you can't do that. But look what they say. Is not the Lord among us? Hey, we are religious people. And God is with us. And God will protect us. And God will keep us. And nothing's going to happen to us because we're with God and God's with us. But what they failed to realize was when they started pushing God away, God wasn't with them anymore. And they were living on a used to be. A false security, right? Can you think of a country that's doing that today? Is America not doing the same thing? And are Christians not doing the same thing that the Jews were doing? And the Christians are going, hey, man, this is America. Nobody's ever attacked our soil. And when they did, they paid the price. This is America, land of the free. We can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want. We can have whatever we want. And you know what? God's always going to protect us, or somebody's going to protect us. And all of a sudden, what you see is you see people forgetting the real reason that we were protected. They're looking at their heritage, much like the Jews looked at their heritage. And they're holding on to a premise that's just not true. That's America today. We don't look any different than the Jew back in the day in the Old Testament, do we? And we're like, oh, we're going to be protected. We're going to be taken care of. Meanwhile, we have non-believers, lost people, people who don't believe in God or don't want to accept God, or they say, well, I believe God exists, but there's no Jesus. They're the lost, just so you know. They're the ones that are going to be dying and going to hell because they don't have Christ. We have those saying, there's no God, and everything's good. And they're blasting America. They're blasting our military. They want rights that are destroying us. I mean, they're doing all sorts of things that are literally wiping us out, but they think it's good. And so they're just moving forward. And then you have the Christian. The Christian is much like this Jew in Micah. God loves me. God is all love. God will protect me. God will take care of us. Don't you worry. He loves you just the way you are. And so you keep going on living the nasty, sinful life you live because it's acceptable because God loves you. I'm not saying Jesse does. I just know he's man enough for me to say that too. So you know what, you get what I'm saying? Like this is what people do, right? Oh, God is full of love. And listen, he loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change for those hypocrite Christians. You don't have to. Them bigots. And so then all of a sudden we have this religious group. Homosexuality is okay. Get a divorce if you're not happy. You deserve to be happy. Meet me in church on Sunday. We love Jesus. Right? Isn't this what's going on, guys? And then you have the Christian, the core, not the religious group, not the lost, not the religious, but the core, the Christian. And you know what the Christians are doing? Hey, guys, have fun. Take care. We'll see you. I'm out of here. And we go find a closet. The homosexuals came out of the closet. The Christians went into the closet. And we ask ourselves, what's wrong with our country? Why doesn't people love Jesus like I love Jesus? Because you made Jesus just a term, just a free-for-all love fest. What do they got to change? Why do they got to come to Jesus? Well, that's what the Jews did. They took God and they just made him a love fest. He'll love us always. He's always with us. We're Abraham's children. God's going to take care of Abraham's children. God loves Abraham's children. All of Abraham's children are going to heaven. And it just becomes this lying love fest. Go to John chapter 8. Anybody feel like I picked up where I left off last week? Oh, my goodness. Guys, this thing jumped to 80. Woo! We can't live with 80. I'm just saying. Amen. Yeah, sorry. I'm like, man, I know I'm hot, but it's really hot. Okay. It's carrying this mic, all this work. I'm not used to it. Let's go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we look at this, and really, here's what's happened. Pride has gotten in the way here in John chapter 8. And so for the Jews, they're just full of themselves. They think they are the Almighty. How many Christians think they're the Almighty, right? They don't talk to the lost because they think they're better than them, but wonder why the lost isn't doing anything different. It's because the Christians not being Christian. And so what we all of a sudden we have this pride welling up, and now we have this huge divide in America. We have the Christians who do what? Well, according to Romans, they are the blind leading the blind. You have the blind Christian leading the blind world. Well, okay, we gave up the leadership position, so now we have the blind world leading the blind Christian. All of a sudden, everything's just gotten turned in reverse because of crazy, prideful, arrogant thinking. Thinking God is always going to be there. Are you ready? He's not. Right? Didn't we read that in Romans chapter 1? I believe we did, where God says, listen, you know what? I'm so sick of your sin, I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. You go ahead and you live your sinful life and your sinful lifestyle and you do what you please. But I'm going to tell you right now, you pay the price for it. God says, I've had enough of your arrogance. I've had enough of you thinking you're the boss and that you run everything. And so in here in John chapter 8, verse 31. Look here in John 8, 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, because he was speaking to the people, he was speaking to religious leaders of the day, right? And he said, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, he said that to those who believed. And so today, sitting here, if I were to say something from the scriptures that to the Christian, and you were really a Christian, you're really a child of God, you would go, hey, I didn't like it, but the word of God said it, and it's good. You know, people go, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, you can take the I out. God said it, that settles it. Right? Amen? Somebody say amen. Help me out here. All right, thank you. Make sure you're still awake. And so here, Jesus is talking to the saved, to those who got saved that moment and who believed on him. But there were some Pharisees in there. Now, the Pharisees were, you had two groups of leaders. You had the Pharisees, and does anybody know what the other group was? Sadducees. And so we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And for those who do not know the difference, the Pharisees believed in a God. They just didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They were religious leaders. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in any God. Therefore, they're sad, you see. Okay. And so just how many went? I got that. Amen. All right. So that way you know the difference. The Pharisees were religious leaders that didn't believe in the Messiah. The Sadducees says there's no God. That way it helps you out. So here, that's who is in this group, mainly the Pharisees. And so then he says here, listen, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, verse 32. Now, pride wells up all of a sudden. And we find this today, guys, where pride just wells up and overwhelms us, where we can't, for some reason, we can't seem to die to ourselves. Like, for some reason, we can't seem to let go of our pride, let go of our desires, and say, okay, Lord, this is what you want. You know, somebody said, God is always able, to which I finish with, yeah, but we're not always willing. See, God, there's no limitation on God. The limitation comes upon us, but it only comes upon us when our pride gets bigger than we are. And all of a sudden, we stop the Jesus train, if you will. All of a sudden, we stop the blessings of God, the flow that's coming through. All of a sudden, we put the brakes on because we think we are somebody. And I'm just here to tell you, we're not. Without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. You realize your very breath you take, every time you take a breath, is a gift from God? Well, the Pharisees seem to have lost sight of that, the religious teachers of the day. And so in 33, look here, it says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? I really find this incredibly interesting, right? Because for the past 100 years, they had been brutally subjugated to Rome. And immediately before that, it was Greece. And during more than 1,000 years before that, they had been in periodic bondage to Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. Like they lived the majority of their life in bondage, and they go, we've never been a slave. We've always been free. So politically speaking, they were even wrong, let alone, of course, Jesus is talking what? Spiritually speaking. And so here he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 33, and they answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Let's just move that to today. Let's look at America. Nobody has owned anything in America but freedom. Kids today growing up, you're in bondage, and it's just going to get worse as the time goes on if people don't stop and take a stand. And we think that we can continue to operate the way we operate and to do the things that we do because we hold on to the past because that's the way it's always been, and so we'll always be free, and it's good. And then the Christian does stuff, and they talk about it, but it's generally behind closed doors where it's really not making a difference. Listen, you want to change the world, you got to go out and change hearts. Quit having little group therapies amongst yourself and don't tell the lost. You're not fixing anything. You got to go out and tell people about the gospel. You tell them about the gospel and they'll see the problems once they see Jesus. You see, that's how we fix it, guys. We go out. We quit being so arrogant. We quit being so prideful. We quit thinking, oh, we have God, so who cares? Yes, we have God, but we should care about the lost. And for some reason, we don't do that. We kind of take the attitude they have. We're saved, so what the hey? Psh, go do what you want to do. That's what they said. We are children. We are Abraham's descendants, 33, and have never been in bondage. Jesus says in 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. See how he brought it back to the spiritual side of it? And guys, I'm just telling you, let's just move there with Jesus to the spiritual side of it. If you have committed sin, how many here have committed sin? All right, and those who are not raising their hand, you are straight up in denial, and so therefore you're in sin. But it's all right. Right? And he says, listen, if you've committed sin, you are a slave to sin. Why? Because sin controls our lives. Sin changes our lives. Sin will take over our lives. You know, the old saying is, sin will cost you, take you longer than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's sin. And when we give in to sin, we become a slave to it. And I'm going to tell you, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He had called me and he said, John, listen, man, I need you to pray. I need you to pray, pray, pray. And I go, man, I'll pray for you. What's it about? And he said, my girlfriend. And I kid you not, immediately, the Holy Spirit told me she's in prostitution. And so that's what I told him. I go, he goes, I can't tell you what the sin is. I go, you don't have to, man. God just did. It's prostitution. And it got real silent on the other end. And I said, dude, listen, how long? And he said, about 3 months, and she's at her end now. It happened in 3 months. It brought her down. She is a Christian. She was serving a church. And her husband left her. That's the adultery we're going to be talking about in Romans 2, 19 and 20. The adultery. We think, oh, we can divorce. It's all good. You know what? Our kids are resilient and they'll understand you're an idiot. That's what they'll understand. You go, Pastor, I didn't like that. Well, I don't like you getting a divorce. So we're just even. Well, you know what? This is the best thing for everybody. You're adding on to my first statement. Well, you know what? We just fell out of love. No, no, no. You choose. And you chose to walk away. You chose to not fix it. Listen, you don't fall out of love. You decide to walk away. You don't quit loving. You don't decide or fall out from God's grace. You walk away from God's grace. She didn't fall into prostitution. She went online, found some sugar daddies, and because she needed extra money because her husband left and she was stuck with the three kids. Be sure your sins will find you out and they will make you a slave. They will make you a slave. They'll take you places you never dreamed that you would ever go. And you'll hold on to some promise of some heritage of some past that you think is going to get you through. And I'm going to tell you, it won't get you through. The only thing that's going to get you through is Jesus, but only until you die to yourself. Do you see the spiritual maturity is pursue, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And I'm telling you, nothing works other than that. Like, that's it. There is no other remedy, no other cure. You can't hang on to the past like they did. Let's move on. He says here in 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And then 37, he goes on, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that I have seen, I'm sorry, he says, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. All of a sudden, we see a big difference between the dads, don't we? There's a separation there, isn't there? There's two different dads. We clearly see there's two different dads, but that's a problem because pride is huge in them, and they're going, whoa, wait a minute, what do you mean? See, we allow our pride to get welled up in us, and when a godly brother or sister in Christ comes to you and says, hey, what you're doing is sinful and it's wrong and you need to stop, and we go, who are you to judge me? Right? Isn't that what we do? That's what they're doing here, guys. I want you to see, nothing changes, right? But people, places, and faces. That's all that changes in the weather every now and then. Right? And people are people everywhere they go. And that's what's going on here, and it's no different today. Let's roll on. They answered and said to him in 39, Abraham is our father, and Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Listen, if you're God's children, if you call yourself a Christian, you will do the works of Jesus Christ. And if you're not doing the works of Jesus Christ, you are not of Jesus. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how often you go to church. I don't care about any of that. If you are not exemplifying Christ through your life, then you have to ask yourself, are you really a Christian? He goes on here. In 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I had heard from God. Abraham did not do this. See, he's showing them, listen, Abraham didn't do what you're doing, and you're not of your father, and you're not doing the works of your father, you're not doing the things of your father. And so many people say, I'm a Christian, but you're not doing the things of God. You're not the Christian, you're the hypocrite. Just like they were here. They're holding on to who Abraham is. I'm going to tell you, it's immaterial who Abraham is. What matters is, who are you? Their title was, I'm Abraham's child, I'm Abraham's descendant. Today we use the title, I'm a Christian. Is there any difference? No, there really isn't. 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth. Boy, we see that today, right? They're trying to eliminate real Christians. 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication, we have one Father, God. They're saying, listen, you know what? We weren't born out of wedlock. We're not whatever, you know. We have one Father, and that's God. They're getting pretty indignant. 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, then you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. If God's your Father, then you're going to believe the things of God. You're going to follow the things of God. You're going to do the things of God. You're not going to be offended because somebody says homosexuality is wrong. It is amazing to me how I am attacked by Christians or so-called Christians more than anybody else when I make that statement. That blows my mind. I mean, is anybody else kind of a little stupefied by that? I'm going, are you serious? The Word of God says, I don't care. God loves everybody. You're an idiot. You can't deny the Word of God and then claim God. Come on. That just doesn't happen. It can't happen. They're polar opposites. You can't claim the Word of God and then deny it and live in sin. You can't do that. And yet, this is exactly what they're doing here, and it's exactly what the church is doing today. And they hold on to their heritage. They hold on to the truths of the Word of God until they got to live it. So many Christians, they know how to spout the verses. Man, they just spit them out there. They might be out of context, but they can spit them out. But they're right here where the Pharisees are. They're no different. And then we wonder why we have the issues that we have. 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." 43, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Jesus says, "Why are you not understanding? You can't hold on to your heritage. You can't hold on to the things of the past. You got to look at your heart. You got to look at your actions." And they're not doing that. They're holding on to Abraham. So here we look in 43, and he says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" And then he answers the question. Don't you love it? Like God didn't just leave it hang out there. Ask a question, go home and think about it. He didn't even let him go home and think about it. He asked a question. "Why don't you understand what I'm saying?" And then he says, "I'll tell you why you don't understand what I'm saying, because you are not able to understand what I'm saying." You're not able. Now, is he challenging their intellect? No. What's he challenging? Spiritual heart. You're not able to understand this, what I'm saying, because you know what? You cannot understand the things of God. Why? Because you're spiritually discerned. You're spiritually lacking. You're spiritually ignorant. You're spiritually without. And you go, "I don't like that." But man, I'm telling you, that's the truth. That's the truth. You have to understand. I'm not going to say, "Well, you don't understand the things of God because you just need to give it time and you pray and the Holy Spirit will enlighten your mind. You're just not praying enough." That might be true, but the reality is the majority of the people do not understand the things of God because they are not of God. That's what the scriptures say. Now, there are some here. Hey, listen, you know what? You got saved. Praise Jesus, you're saved. Praise God, you're going to heaven when you die. But like Jude said, whereas by fire. In other words, your britches are going to be smoking when you go through the gate. That's what Jude says. Whereas by fire, like you're going to come in sliding, going, "Ooh, get it out. Ooh, I'm glad I made it here." It's literally going to be that close. He goes on in 44. I'm going to tell you. Now, before we go on to 44, get rid of 44 for me. Get rid of that. Back it up. Go to 43 before everybody reads it. Okay, they've already read it. All right. Now, listen. We say... Right? Now listen, we say, "Don't offend anybody. You're so offensive." I love the new shirt I got. Tim and Kathy bought for me. If I offended you, that was a bonus. I wasn't planning on it. Right? I love that shirt. We go, "Don't offend anybody. Jesus wouldn't offend anybody. Jesus loves them. Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus went and rescued the lost. Jesus is full of compassion and love. Jesus wouldn't offend anybody. And so therefore, if you're a Christian, you better get a hold of yourself and not offend anybody. Because that's not politically correct, and we got to keep the government happy." Right? Right? Okay, let's look at what Jesus does, because if we are going to be like Jesus, then we got to exemplify Christ. Amen? Somebody say amen. So Jesus says, listen, 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." Look here in 44, he says, "You are not of your father," you are of your father, the devil. Not Abraham's, you're not of your father, Abraham, you're of your father, the devil. But then what did he say? "And the desires of your father you want to do." And then he says he was a murderer. And you go, where did that come from? Well, you got to go back here. In 40, right, verse 40, it says, John 2:40 says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." And then in 44, he says, "You're not of your father, God. You're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it." Whoo! Tell me that didn't slap them across the face. And then a backhand. And then another hand. And we go, Jesus doesn't offend anybody. And that's a lie. Jesus offended them. But what did he offend them with? Truth. You know, we say that we need to share the love of Christ. Do you know what the love of Christ is? Think about this for a moment. The love of Christ is not offending. The love of Christ is sharing the truth about Christ, sharing the truth about sin, sharing the truth about heaven, sharing the truth about hell, sharing the truth about how you can obtain either one. I'm telling you, the love of Christ is telling the truth. And we go, don't offend. Be like Christ. I'm going to tell you, I think I am kind compared to the words of Jesus. I have never looked a man in the eye and said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father. Okay, I've been close. I got to. I have been close. I have to repent for that one. Okay. But then he goes on. He doesn't stop. You're of your father the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources because he's a liar and the father of it. And you're just like your father. Holy smoke, guys. Do you see what Jesus just did? He threw politically correct out the window and said, listen to me. If you have one chance in this world, it's now, and you better hear my words. Because there might come a day when Jesus says, I'm done. I'm done. You're on your own. And you're not even going to be able to come to me if you desire to come to me because you're done. I'm done. Then we go, God will never be done. God is done when he is done. He says he's long-suffering. He says he's never forever giving. He says he's long-suffering, which says, listen, there's a come a day. There's going to come a time. In Romans 1, he says, listen, I'm tired of you living in your sin. I'm tired of you doing the things of a reprobate, and so I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind, and you go ahead and you do whatever you want, but you're going to pay the price. See, America, I believe he's given over to a reprobate mind. Do you realize most churches in America could never handle this message today? Do you realize that? Most churches in America would be so offended that they would throw me out. They would never have me come back to preach for them. Because they're not used to truth. And when they hear truth, they're going to act just like these Pharisees. Let's look here. Jesus finishes up in verse 45. Or he continues. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? But then he answers the question. I love how Jesus throws a question out there and then he answers the question. Why does he answer the question? Because he does not want you walking away mistaken. He does not want you walking away not understanding. So he asked a question. And why does he ask a question? Because anytime somebody asks a question, immediately your brain starts thinking of an answer. Yes? That's what Jesus does. Well, then look here in the next verse. He answers the question. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore what? He who is of God hears God's words. Because of this statement, that's the therefore. When we see a therefore, we find out what it's there for. Amen? And because of the statement that he just made, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. That threw political correct straight out the window, didn't it? We can't offend anybody. We got to be like Jesus. Man, we wouldn't even get close to being like Jesus, the majority of us. Amen? I don't think they felt real good hearing what Jesus had to say. I'm just kind of going out on a limb there and just guessing they weren't real happy with what he said. Let's move on. Then he goes on to 48. Then when the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Okay. How many think that is just out of left field? Right? Okay. Let's put some humanity to here. Here's what just happened. The Pharisees just got spanked, all right? They verbally just got spanked. They're without words. They have no clue what else to say. They're going. Well, I think you're a demon and a Samaritan. That's what I think. Wait a minute. That's what they just did, right? Anybody with me here? Jesus throws this out there to them, and they listen. Do you know why I think that they threw out this crazy "where'd you go" statement? It's because when Jesus spoke what he said, it pierced their heart. I believe the Holy Spirit took those words of Jesus and made them a dagger and pierced their heart. And the only thing they could think of, rather than dying to themselves, rather than surrendering their pride, rather than going, "Lord, help me, I need a Savior." The only thing they could think of to do was go, "Well, you're a Samaritan and a demon." And you know the truth is, guys, that's what the sinner does today when the Christian says that lifestyle is wrong and what you're doing is wrong and that's a lie and you shouldn't be doing that, and that grieves God and that grieves the Holy Spirit, and the world attacks us and goes, "You have no right to judge me, and who are you," and blah, blah, blah. And then here's the saddest part. That is of the world, but here's what we find the church doing: the exact same thing. Because we go, "America is free, it'll always be free." I'm going to tell you, America is no longer free. And we need to get rid of our pride, and we need to die to ourselves. We need to forget the past, because I'm going to tell you, you hold on to the past, the future will trap you, because you won't see it coming. And that's what happened to the Jews. Paul in Romans 2:17 says, "Yeah, you are a Jew. But let me make something clear about the Jews." Jesus says, "Yeah, you are a Jew. But let me share with you the truth about what's happening to you. Let me share the truth about your heart. Let me share the truth about your destination. Let me share the truth about how dark you really are. Because just because you're a Jew does not mean you have the right to get into heaven. You need to, listen, Jew, Jewish, Hebrews, Israelites, whatever you want to say, you need to do the same thing every human being in the world needs to do, and you need to submit to Jesus Christ. You want to go to heaven? You better forget about Abraham. You better forget about your heritage. You better forget about all that stuff. And I'm telling the person today, you think you're a Christian because your mom's a Christian or your dad's a Christian and you grew up in church, or you grew up in America, or you were born in America, or you were born somewhere else and all you heard about was Jesus. But you go, "Hey, you know what? Because of that, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, you know why? Because I'm really a good person. I deserve it." And I'm going to tell you the same thing Jesus told them. "Yeah. Yeah, you're a descendant of Abraham's. But you don't follow him. And if you don't die to yourself, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no hope of eternal life. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell." And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what heritage you have. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your name is, what you look like, how much money you have. Listen, I'm telling you, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is there been a time in your life where you said, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Jesus, today I surrender to you. Jesus, today I give my life to you." If there's never been a day where you have done that, then I'm going to tell you right now, this moment, if you were to die this very moment, you have no hope. You're dying and going to hell. Not because of the words, but because you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take a moment right now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I really want you to look at where you're at today. I want you to think about spiritually where you're at. Do you struggle with the words of God? Do you struggle with the sermon today? Do you struggle with the things that I have said when I read Scripture? If you do, that is a huge indicator that you are not of God. That is a huge indicator that you are of your father, the devil. And listen, don't take that offensively, because everyone, before they gave their life to Christ, was of their father, the devil. Every person without exception. And so today, I want you to think about not your heritage, but your Heavenly Father. Not your good works, but the fact that you weren't good enough and Jesus had to die for you. And then here's what it requires to go to heaven. It's an amazing thing. It requires faith. For by faith you have been saved. It is a grace of God, a gift of God, not of works. For by grace through faith, that's what the Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If you're here today, you have to ask yourself this question. If I were to die right now, do I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven? And if you come up with an, I think so, maybe so, I feel like it, I'm a pretty good person, who are you to judge me? I think I'm doing right. Then 10 to 1, you're not going to heaven. The Bible says that you have to believe on Jesus Christ. That you have to believe that he is the Son of God. That he died on the cross. That he conquered death and hell, and that he rose and he's at the right hand of the Father today. The Bible says you have to believe that. And if you believe that, then that's salvation. I want you to pray this prayer with me quietly in your heart. But only if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he conquered death and hell, and he rose on the third day. Only if you believe that, pray this prayer. I do not want to give you a false sense of security because you think by praying a simple prayer you're saved. The prayer is just a map to walk you through it. It's what you really believe in your heart that changes your life and your destiny, not the words that you speak. It's the words you believe. The prayers just gives you a time where you can go, that was the day I prayed. That was the day I surrendered to God. And if it's your desire today and you believe, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I have done things, Lord, that go against you. And for all those things, today I ask for forgiveness. Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. To be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my all in all.